Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul.
To Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, Natural Remedies So Powerful They Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete. And that's VitalityCapsules.com. As always, I welcome your questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695. And this is, of course, Dr. Jennifer Daniels. Now, our topic tonight is saving your teeth naturally. We're going to talk about cavities, crumbling teeth, receding gums, and abscesses. These are some modern dental conditions, but they're compounded by toxic therapies like root canals, mercury fillings, antibiotics, dental cleanings laced with toxic fluoride, and much more. And so I'm going to talk about the dangers of these interventions and how you can save your teeth naturally so you don't have to destroy your life to save your teeth. Obviously, this is a really tall promise, so we need a really tall disclaimer. As you know, I'm a medically trained doctor. I'm not a dentist. So, of course, none of anything you're going to hear tonight is meant to treat, diagnose, or cure any condition. So why am I talking about this topic? Well, probably just like you, I've had several run-ins with the dental profession. Only as a medical doctor, I've had a few more. I've had many situations where I've sent people to the dentist thinking, my credulous self, that the dentist was really going to help. And in less than anywhere from 6 hours to 3 days, a person's back in my office feeling no better and complaining. And this led me to get seriously inquisitive and develop some things that worked, so I didn't have to send people off to the dentist anymore and have people coming back with more and more complaints. So that's one thing. The other thing is, on a personal level, I've had many, I guess you could say, run-ins with the dental profession. As a teenager, my father had purchased 2 dental plans. This meant he collected 2 times for each time he or someone in the family went to the dentist. So he took me to the dentist for a root canal. He made about $900 on that deal. But I've had to live with a root canal and, of course, the bacterial discharge and seeding, which we're going to talk about later, ever since. And I've had fillings and cleanings. And after my $2,000 per tooth fillings, I decided I was going to swear off dentists. Not only was it expensive, but it was painful. It was agony. It was torture. So now, the only reason I can see personally to go to a dentist would be to get a tooth pulled. Now, of course, this is not what I'm saying you should do yourself, but it's just kind of where I've arrived at. So in the course of life, I've discovered natural ways to deal with abscesses, cavities, loose teeth, and more. And I have refused what dentists have told me were urgent therapies, only to find the problem was really easily solved otherwise. So I'm going to share solutions with you today, and I'm also doing this topic because a listener requested it. So email your topic suggestions to support@vitalitycapsules.com. I do read those, and when I get suggestions for topics, I take a look at it and, you know, consider it. So send in your favorite topic, what you'd like to hear about, to support@vitalitycapsules.com. And also, you have to visit VitalityCapsules.com. Check out the new comic strips. Many of you know I write comics, so stop by and check them out. They are hilarious. So first, I'm going to start off with the hazards of conventional dental therapy. And I'll spend some time also on the therapies I've devised and answer questions as well. Now, first of all, we'll start with mercury fillings. Now, it's really surprising that regulators are saying that mercury fillings are dangerous. This is actually an international discussion. Every country, you know, this is cropping up. The citizens, or I guess at the bottom of the decision-making chain here, feel that mercury fillings are dangerous. And in Britain, people are concerned that the British health bosses refuse to take action. However, there seems to be a growing consensus that they are dangerous. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says they are dangerous, but refuses to ban them. And simply chewing your food can release harmful mercury vapor from the fillings, which could be breathed into the lungs. And this is actually the biggest hazard of mercury, is when it vaporizes and is inhaled. Solid mercury, if it stays solid, is hazardous, but less so. So what can mercury do to you? Well, apparently a lot of things. Excuse me. There's a belief, or actually evidence, that symptoms from mercury fillings include fatigue, depression, heart conditions, and Alzheimer's disease. And the U.S. Regulatory Department, I guess that would be the FDA, has pretty much dropped all of its reassuring language on the fillings, on the safety of amalgam fillings. Norway and Denmark have banned mercury fillings, and Finland has restricted their use because apparently, while it may not be a hazard to humans directly by having it in their mouth, it appears to be a serious environmental hazard in terms of fish eating it and becoming laden with mercury. So you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. And please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, Natural Remedies So Powerful They Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete. And that's VitalityCapsules.com. As always, your calls and questions are welcome at 914-338-0695. Now, what is amalgams? Amalgams are not pure mercury. Amalgams are actually mixed with silver or copper or tin, forming a highly durable combination, and it's believed by some that this locks the mercury in. It's believed by others that it acts as a slow mercury vapor release system. And so it's pretty much a consensus now that this mercury vapor does escape from mercury fillings and does indeed poison the owner, and is passed into the bloodstream and organs. So the question is, how much? And that's argued back and forth. So today we're going to really focus on is kind of more of what's believed to be happening with fillings, because it actually ties into medicine, too. And some research suggests that high blood pressure, infertility, and disorders of the central nervous system are also related to amalgam fillings. And dentists themselves have been found to have very high levels of mercury in their bodies because, of course, they work with it all day and they inhale this stuff. And 0.5 grams, which is 500 milligrams, is the average amount of mercury in one filling. Now, if the same amount were in a lake, it would render the fish inedible. So this is serious toxicity. Now, Hal Huggins, famous dentist who opposed amalgams, and his license was revoked, if that's not familiar. And while we are talking about amalgams, there appears to be growing evidence that there's a subclinical toxic effect of composite resins compared to dental amalgams. Now, what does that mean? Translated to English, that means that the alternative to mercury fillings appears to be just about as dangerous. So where does that leave us? Now, one thing that really concerned me was, of course, I had all these patients who were into alternative everything, right? So when I have patients who would go and get their mercury removed, a lot of times they didn't feel any better. And I was really shocked and disappointed by this. I mean, really, very much so. And one possible reason for them to not experience any benefit when they got their mercury fillings out was because, well, maybe mercury wasn't the problem. But another possibility is it's possible that they may have had other sources of mercury in their life that were very high, and those other sources of mercury were in no way diminished. So that, I think, is probably a piece of the puzzle. So if you're concerned about mercury, you need to take a look at the other places in your life where mercury is kind of sneaking in. In latex paints, they, up until 1992 in the United States, they put very high amounts of mercury in latex paints to prevent fungus in the water-based paints. And so this is about 2 parts per million of mercury, or more dangerous than the allowable amount in water. So it gives off an invisible, odorless, toxic vapors. And mercury is also found in organic compounds. Commonly, metallic mercury can be found in thermometers, barometers, electrical switches, thermostats, and in dental fillings. Now, electrical switches, this is important because, you know, houses have electrical switches and outlets. And so, literally, these electrical switches and outlets could be releasing mercury vapor because mercury is in the switches. The switches warm up slightly, not enough to create a fire, but warm up slightly, and this creates mercury vapor. So people are literally living in homes filled with mercury. Now, mercury is also present in drinking water. And so whenever you drink water, take a bath, or eat fish that have been swimming in mercury water with mercury, you're getting mercury. And if you spill mercury in your house, like break the mercury thermometer, that can cause neurological effects, confusions, and hand tremors. And mercury also causes things like chills, chest tightness, bronchitis, pneumonia, abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, bleeding gums, leg pain, burning sensation in the feet, lung, kidney damage, skin rashes. And the reason I'm listing this is in case you're having any symptoms, you can say, hey, wait a minute, it could be from my mercury. But if you don't have mercury in your mouth, again, we mentioned the other areas that you may have mercury, so it would be worth a look. Now, reproductive effects are interesting because symptoms of mercury exposure can include menstrual problems, miscarriage, and damage to unborn babies. Now, they say miscarriage, but that boils down to infertility, right? You can get pregnant, but you can't have a baby, so that comes down to infertility. And organ systems, people's nervous systems, as we mentioned before, as well as kidney systems, are very sensitive to mercury and easily damaged. And some symptoms of damage include blood in the urine, tremor, shaking, burning pain in the legs and feet, sleep disturbances, and personality changes like irritability and memory loss. So in general, these chemicals affect all the organ systems in people who are exposed. So a person's reaction depends on several things, including individual health, previous exposure to mercury and other chemicals, personal habits like smoking or drinking. And it's also important to consider the length of exposure to the chemical, in this case mercury, and the amount of exposure, the number of fillings, and whether it was inhaled, touched, or eaten. In the case of mercury in the mouth, it's really all three, because obviously your tongue touches the mercury filling. When the mercury filling's in your mouth, it releases mercury vapor, so you're inhaling it. And every time you bite down your food, mercury is released, so you're eating it. So it's really quite an issue. Now you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Show Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, Natural Remedies So Powerful They Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete. And this is VitalityCapsules.com, and also I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. Now what about root canals? Well, root canals, basically the dentist opens up the tooth, scoops out the dead root, and puts in a material called gutta percha, which is used to fill the root canal. And it's often laced with barium. So barium is a a toxic heavy metal. Now, there are gutta perchas that don't have barium in them and that have disinfectants in them and are believed to be less of an issue, but it's not clear. However, dentists have spoken out and said that it's mechanically not possible to sterilize the root canal. And so, in other words, when you have a root canal, you have a perpetual infection that causes chronic illness. And this root canal that's not sterile can release bacteria into the blood. It's kind of sporadically pulse these bacteria into the blood. It can release bacteria for maybe a few days, weeks at a time, then kind of go dormant and kind of flare up again. One way of handling this is with the Candida Cleaner. You can check that out at CandidaCleaner.com. But under the stress of oxygen and nutrition deprivation, which is basically the standard American diet, processed foods, formerly friendly organisms are believed to morph, that would be change, into stronger, more dangerous and deadly anaerobes that produce a variety of potent toxins. Now, this is a new theory about infections that really hasn't been discussed at this point. But there's evidence, growing evidence, that bacteria can change from one form to another. And this kind of throws out the window any idea oral bacteria can change into highly toxic pathogens lurking in the tubules of the dead tooth, just waiting for an opportunity to spread. And there's very clear documentation, certainly in the area of heart disease, that infections in the teeth, in the gums, can cause bacteria to enter the blood, settle on a heart valve, have babies grow, and actually destroy heart valves, making it necessary to have open-heart surgery. So this has been known certainly as far back as 1980, which is when I first became aware of it in medical school. They actually taught this. And kidney disease can be secondary not only to amalgams, but secondary to the dissemination of bacteria from a tooth that's had a root canal. How does this work? Well, the kidney is filled with extremely, extremely narrow, skinny blood vessels. That's how the blood is filtered through the kidney. Now, when you have bacteria released into the blood, they can cause a situation where these very ultra-small vessels are clogged, they're blocked, the kidney function declines, ultimately fails, and then you're on dialysis. And same mechanism happens in the joint that gives you arthritis and also rheumatic diseases. And neurological diseases like ALS, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, that means that a portion of the spinal cord is simply destroyed. And multiple sclerosis and lupus can also be caused by, it's believed, by a root canal disseminating these bacteria and other organisms. And so the infections harbored by root canals, I can list them, but they're hard to pronounce. But the important thing is that in 58% of heart disease where isolation is attempted, bacteria are isolated and associated with that destruction, and equally with the central nervous system. Candida, 65% is felt to emanate from root canals, and changes from the yeast state to fungal state becomes invasive, causes small holes to incur the intestines and other tissues throughout the body, resulting in leaky gut syndrome, and also increases porphyrin excretion in the urine, leading to reduced energy production, reduced heme production, and anemia. And this lowers a person's overall energy. And also it's been associated with frontal brain abscesses. And gingivitis alters the integrity of blood vessels and enhances atherosclerosis. And then the vascular damage and infections, meningitis. Now, meningitis is important because there is a form of meningitis that is called meningococcal meningitis. And it's believed that vaccinations help with this meningitis. Even if you look at the drug company's own data, they will tell you that the vaccine is at most 75% effective. Now, the fact that this meningitis organism hangs out in the teeth and can literally get a direct line from the teeth to the sinuses and the brain suggests a mechanism whereby the immunization would be totally ineffective because the organism is not exposed to the immune system and travels through its own private little channel from the tooth into the veins, into the brain. So we are having an incredible tropical storm here. I don't know if you guys can hear the hear it coming down, but it's pretty loud. I can barely hear it myself. Hope you can hear me better than I can. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Flow Channel at Vitality Capsules. I'm sorry, at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift. Natural remedies, so powerful. They could make antibiotics obsolete. They certainly did in my medical practice. So these are the methods I use to get rid of infections. It made it possible for me to stop writing prescriptions for antibiotics. And so that's VitalityCapsules.com. As always, your calls and questions are welcome. Please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, this is really interesting. I've actually done a little bit of research here, and they only took 40 multiple sclerosis samples in which 81 separate microbes were identified, and they only report on 7, so 81 were identified. And although not defined as a neurologic disease, draining sinuses are common among multiple sclerosis patients with root canals. And so actinomyces was included. So this is an organism that drains from root canals. Now we're going to talk about that later, but the roots of the upper teeth sit at the base of the sinuses. And so this goes two ways. If you have an infected root canal, you're going to develop a chronic sinus infection. If you have a chronic sinus infection, you will think that you have bad teeth when maybe there's nothing wrong with your teeth, but you have basically a sinus infection. Now, candida is associated 62% with multiple sclerosis. Actinomyces, which is another fungus, 35%. Gemella morbillarium, 57%, associated with meningitis and with muscle sclerosis. And Neisseria meningitidis, this is the one I was talking about they developed a vaccine for. But again, the vaccine would be ineffective, right? Because the infection goes from the root canal to the sinuses. The brain rests pretty much against the sinuses, and the infection spreads directly without ever being exposed to the immune system. And so 7% of the multiple sclerosis cases were associated with Neisseria meningitis. And this organism also is associated with seizures. In E. coli and staph, 12% are associated with multiple sclerosis, and both are capable of increasing porphyrin, which causes less energy to be available to the nerve cells. Now, strep, 27% is another organism, again, associated with cervical spinal cord abscesses and with muscle sclerosis. And it has a high mortality and neurologic morbidity. So every time a person bites down, as in chewing, some of these bacteria, or worse yet, their toxins, are squirted into the body's lymphatic drainage system. From here, they go on to the bloodstream, from there, everywhere. And so over the past 40 years, the observations of these researchers suggest that the old theory of one microbe like strep pneumonia giving one disease like pneumonia that is cured by one drug, say penicillin, is really not an accurate theory. It's not really the way it happens. And so this theory is being replaced more and more by the concept of group warfare, that it's more than one microbe that's causing these afflictions. So toxic dental metals are also known to alter the integrity of cell membranes, which means that the cell membrane can more easily be penetrated by these multiple microbes. And so this is how these microbes emanating from, say, a root canal or underneath some fillings can spread to the whole body and allows weaker bacteria that would not ordinarily cause an infection to invade the cells and cause devastating illnesses. And so once inside the cell, even a weak bacteria can cause deadly results to the cell and ultimately the body. Now, bacterial invasion is not consistent. So if we identify the bacteria of several root canals in a person with, say, multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, with DNA technology, we don't find the identical bacteria in each dead tooth. Now, this is important to grasp, and I have to really agree with this over the years. This is why I believe it's futile to look for infection by one organism as a disease cause. And so even if you do find an infection by one particular organism, it would not yield relevant information, because all infection is opportunistic. So the infection is present, but it needs a weakened host. And this is why not everyone who gets bit by a disease tick, say, gets Lyme disease. And so what we're getting here with the fillings and with the root canal is a constellation of multi-microbial relief into the bloodstream, which then affects the many organs of the individual who has these dental things in place, and the person then contracts disease of the body, which usually is not even associated with the root canal at all. So in root canals or cavities, or in people with MS, one bacterium, Enterobacter, is also found. And it was also found in ALS and Alzheimer patients. And this is another suggestion, I think, to Alzheimer's, and why Alzheimer's has just appeared on the scene abruptly in the past 50 years. In the past 50 years, we've seen an incredible increase in the number of people undergoing dental procedures, invasive dental procedures, and the number of invasive dental procedures per person. And Enterobacter is also noted for involvement in endocarditis and heart disease and bone disease. Now, dispersive amalgams used in dentistry, that means you go to the dentist, you get filling or amalgam in your mouth, and of course he doesn't use all the amalgam because he uses a certain amount that's left over. Simply disposing of this amalgam accounts for 53% of environmental pollution of mercury in the United States and 33% of mercury found in sewage. And so another source of mercury, believe it or not, is cremation. So these people have mercury in their mouths when they're alive. And then when they're cremated to death, all this mercury is released during cremation into the air. Now, there's another debate going on, of course, with batteries. Batteries contain mercury. And so there's discussions of whether batteries contribute more mercury to the environment or amalgams do. But it's clear that amalgams contribute quite a bit. And then there's organizations around this. It's called TURF, the Toxic Element Research Foundation. And they're devoted to making people aware of the potential problems associated with dental materials and procedures, and creating true informed consent of potential problems to make for a better informed decision by the patient, especially where health is at risk, which apparently it always is when you get in the dentist chair. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, Natural Remedies So Powerful They Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete, and that's VitalityCapsules.com. Of course, I welcome your calls and questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695. So what we have here is we know that root canals lead to chronic forever and lifelong infections. We know that amalgams do the same. And we even now have an early understanding that the epoxy-type fillings that they've used to replace the amalgams may not be any safer. But what we have here is a fraction without a denominator. So we know that people are being affected. We have that number, people being affected. We don't know how many people have root canals in their mouth. We don't know how many people actually have amalgam dental fillings. We don't know. So it's difficult to say without a denominator what percent of people are affected, and not only that, but what's the predictive value. So if you have amalgams, what are your chances that you're going to have a health-related issue related to that amalgam? For example, if 99% of Americans have amalgam in their mouth or a root canal, one or the other, then the predictive value of having an amalgam or root canal is zero, because 100% of all people are going to have it, but not 100% have these illnesses. So the predictive value would be just out the window, like zero. Now, what about metallic screws and implants? A lot of people say, well, you know, okay, pull the tooth and get one of those fancy metallic screws or implants in and pop a nice little fake tooth on top and I'm good to go. The problem with that is the threads of the metallic screws and the interface between the implants and the bone harbor the very same bacteria. So you're really back where you started with the root canal. In other words, you have a reservoir of bacteria and a mechanism that creates or could create chronic disease. So that's not really an option. The only option that seems to make sense in terms of avoiding the chronic infection situation is a bridge. And the bridge does not involve putting foreign material into the gum or the teeth, because you simply attach it to existing teeth that are above ground. Now, this is what one doctor has to say about this. Anything implanted into the bone will create an autoimmune response. The only difference is the length of time that it takes. In other words, he might still want to say that crowns and bridges would be fine because they're outside the body, so to speak. The moment you implant anything into bone, you create a foreign body reaction. And what the immune system says, hey, you're not registered as bone, therefore you're a foreign body and must be removed. And so we're off to the races here. Well, thank God the state of California, Proposition 65, passed in 2001, and they kind of sum it up and make everything very clear. In 2001, any dentist employing more than 9 people had to post this following notice. Notice to patients, warning on dental amalgams used in many dental fillings, causes exposure to mercury, a chemical known to the state of California to cause birth defects and other reproductive harm, root canal treatments and restorations, including fillings, crowns, and bridges, they throw in the bridges there, use chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has studied the situation and approved for use all dental restorative materials. Consult your dentist to determine which materials are appropriate for your treatment. So basically, California seems to be ahead of the rest of the country in acknowledging the harm to these dental devices. Well, now that we've talked about the devices, what about fluoride? Because we're going to talk about a substitute for fluoride, too. It turns out that fluoride is actually a substance that destroys teeth. And it is found in kidney disease. It's another hallmark of fluoride poisoning. Multiple animal studies have found that fluoride levels as low as 1 part per million, which is the amount added to most fluoridated water systems, causes kidney damage. So a possible explanation for the elevation in kidney disease or dialysis. And now fluoride also seems to cause bone cancer. And again, this is in your drinking water, your toothpaste. Believe it or not, your dental floss is now laced with fluoride, so you have to watch that, catch that label. Foods. And fluoride literally rots teeth from the inside out. And fluoride impairs the proper thyroid function and debilitates the endocrine system. So it's absorbed to the skin every time people wash their hands or take a shower in fluoridated water. And the widespread hypothyroidism these days may be a result of overexposure, I say exposure to fluoride, as well as brittle bones. So it also must be kept in mind that fluoride is a pollutant and thus has an influence on the environment. So while the effects of fluoride contamination from industry are a concern, certainly drinking and eating fluoride is an issue. Now, that brings up the common dental ritual. So even dental cleanings are toxic. because while they may remove scale, they also damage enamel. So your basic dental cleaning involves ultrasound, vibration, application of fluoride, application of a paste laced with sand, and of course scraping, which can take off the enamel of the teeth and leave the teeth more susceptible to infection. So here we get to the good part. It's amazing what you can do on your own and how clean you can get your teeth. So we're going to talk about that right now. Now, more than one person has told me that after brushing and flossing religiously, they went for their cleaning and were told they got their teeth so clean that the cleaning was not necessary. So that's number one, do it yourself. Brush and floss, just twice a day seems to do it. The reason flossing is so critical is because, especially if you eat meat, if a piece of meat gets stuck between your teeth, like a little fiber of chicken, let's say, that fiber is meat, it's laced with bacteria. It's just naturally the way it is. And so you have it pressing against your teeth, shielding the bacteria as it eats away at your teeth. So it's really important, especially if you're a meat eater, to floss. Now, what about the abrasives? What about get that scale off your teeth? You can simply brush with calcium bentonite clay. This is a mild abrasive. So get your soft to medium toothbrush, dip it in some bentonite clay, calcium bentonite clay, and skip the fluoride and floss. And if you brush with calcium bentonite clay one day a week and floss with or without wax, basically you will have replaced your routine doctor cleaning. So we have a question here. Let's take this question. This is thing. Oh, here we go. Circling. 3277, you're on the air.
Hi. Nice to hear your show. Many years ago I came into some money and I had some horrible, horrible symptoms. And so I was trying all sorts of things, and I had all of those amalgam fillings. I think it's called amalgam fillings, right?
Yeah, mercury.
Okay, I had all of those removed, but I didn't notice any difference, but I've heard other people just say they feel so much better. So
yeah.
For me it didn't work, but I wouldn't rule it out. Anyway.
Now, what did you replace them with?
Well, you know, I don't know. I should really learn a little more about that, but it was just, it was a holistic dentist, and it was just something that was white and, you know, it blended in with your teeth. So it didn't look like you had, you know, any dental work. Since then, though, I can't afford that guy. He's just outrageous, but anyway.
Okay, we're going to talk some more about what you can do instead and what do you actually put in your mouth.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Oh. What was that?
I'm going to explain what that doctor actually put in that person's mouth. It turns out that the mercury fillings are being taken out of people's mouths, but what's being put back in is the composites, which are now understood to release equally toxic chemicals. This is another reason why people who go through incredible expense, and I might add physical torture, of getting their amalgams out don't experience a relief of symptoms. Now, many people do, but again, my experience, my medical practice of people who did go through the extreme expense, I mean, it's not cheap, of getting these out, I would say about 1 in 3 notice really dramatic improvement. So you have to decide for yourself if you want to take the 1 in 3 chance of getting your amalgams out in terms of whether or not you'll experience benefit. The other thing that I noticed was when people aggressively pursued a natural diet and cleansing, then they got relief even if they did not get their amalgams out. And my book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful, covers these dietary and cleansing measures. And that's at vitalitycapsules.com. Now, basic everyday prevention. because we all know that toothpaste is toxic. Whether you object to the foaming agents, the fluoride, the lauryl sulfate, which causes cancer, there's just so much to object to in toothpaste. And even if you buy the $8 a tube ultra-healthy stuff, it still contains at least one of these ingredients. So what's a person to do? You can buy, you can mix, actually, why buy anything? Mix baking soda and salt equal parts, wet your brush, dip it in, and just brush your teeth with it. The extreme salt and soda change the pH, kill bacteria, and the abrasion, the mild abrasion, helps clean your teeth. So that's one thing. But baking soda and salt, I found I could only do it for so long. Like, I think I lasted a couple of years. Then I just, like, needed something different. And another option is Ipsab powder. That's I-P-S-A-B, Ipsab powder. This is very good stuff. It has peppermint in it, prickly ash bark. You can buy it as a powder. Baking soda and salt. Now, you can actually mix this yourself. And I used to buy Ipsab powder, but for like a year it was unavailable. But you can actually just buy the ingredients, mix it yourself, and keep it in a container by the sink and brush your teeth with it. And if you're not so handy or don't feel like being so handy, you can buy it at the Casey Institute. That's the Enlightened Research Institute, the Casey Institute. They're right online. So those are basic, everyday prevention. It turns out that if you only want to brush and floss once a day, the most important time to do it is bedtime, because you don't want to leave that bacteria sitting there between your teeth to eat away and work on your teeth all night long. You don't want to do that. Now, we have our disclaimer, right? No diagnosis, treatment, or cure here. However, you do need to do a little bit of diagnosis, and you need to do the diagnosis because your dentist may not be reliable. Because, in other words, it might not be your teeth. You could have pain, tooth pain, and it might not be your teeth. That's happened to my mother, and I'm sure it happened to a lot of other people, too. Mom had tooth pain, and all of her upper teeth hurt. She went to the dentist, and he says, I know what's wrong with you. You have infection in your teeth. And he pulled every last tooth in her mouth when she was a teenager. And so from the time she was a teenager, she wore upper dentures. Of course, her symptoms were not improved because it wasn't her teeth, it was her sinuses. So don't let that happen to you. If the pain is in your upper teeth, consider that it might be your sinuses. And get my free report, Natural Remedies So Powerful, It Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete, and it tells you how to get rid of your sinus infection. So that's for free. Just go to the website, sign in, get your report, and you can use that treatment. It works very nicely for sinus infections. And if it doesn't go away, then it might be your tooth. Okay. Let me see. I think I got this right. We have another question here.
Hi there. This is Theron in New York. How are you today?
Oh, fine.
Oh. I heard you on Deanna Spingola's show, and I've been enjoying your material. So what I'd like to know is, can one regrow teeth, which I've been hearing from different people you can, or regrow correct cavities by growing them back out? Some people say that...
Yes, you can correct cavities. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
You can absolutely erase them and reverse them, which is really exciting.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my only question, so I'll leave you to it. Thank you.
All right. Great. You're welcome. Okay, so we'll skip to cavities and we'll go back to abscesses. All right. Now, I was taught, and I believe, just like the caller, that once a cavity, always a cavity, that's it. Oh, man, you're in for it now. You know, just get your fillings, the earlier the better, and hopefully it won't get worse. Actually, it's just the opposite. The only teeth I've lost are the ones that I filled early on, and it's just a total travesty. So as a college student, I had one filling and another filling popped out. This is when I went to college. And I was very busy. I needed every spare moment to study in order to get into medical school. So one day I just happened to have some extra time, so I dashed over to the student clinic, to the dentist for some routine care. I said, okay, clean my teeth, or don't clean my teeth, just take a look and check out my root canal and see if I need anything done. Well, he did x-rays. He told me I had 8 cavities, but they were early, and he could fill them all, and here's the appointment schedule for filling my cavities. And so I spent over an hour in that office with him doing whatever it was he did. And finally, I just told him, I said, you know what, I got to get out of here. If I spend much more time in your dental chair, I'm going to flunk out. So I never returned. 20 years later, I got an exam with an x-ray and had the same old cavities I already knew I had, just 2 cavities. The other 8 had vanished. Now, in between, I did something that I'm sure nobody listening to the show would even think of doing. I ate every other day for 7 years, and I brushed my teeth, and of course, I hoped and prayed. But I'm older now and more sophisticated, and so I've done a lot of experimentation with my own teeth and with other people, and there's things you can do. First of all, how do you know you have a cavity? That's numero uno. You know you have a cavity because you have some pain. No pain, no cavity. That's very simple. And you can, I suggest you take action when the pain is mild. In other words, the first stabbing pain or radiating pain is like, oops, okay, I got a problem. So the first thing you need to do is you need to remineralize your teeth, and you need to do that from the outside as well as the inside. So you can eat clay. This is really interesting, and it relieves the pain in hours. In other words, it begins healing the cavity in hours. You basically mix 1 cup of clay with 3 cups of water. You let it sit for 2 days, stirring it occasionally, like once a day. And then you take 1 or 2 tablespoons each night for about 2 to 3 weeks. That's more than enough. Usually your pain will be gone in about 3 days. Now, warning, do not do this if you are constipated. The clay could block you up, so you need to get your bowels moving. That's very, very important. So eating clay is an important remedy. Now, another thing you can do is you can swish and spit with clay. So take the same clay, put it in your mouth, swish around, and spit it out. That gives, believe it or not, instant relief. Now, the other thing is once you feel pain somewhere, usually it's between your teeth, floss immediately to get out whatever particle might be there. Okay, so that's the immediate intervention. Now, the idea here is reversibility. And you need to understand your body is always healing. It's always healing. What you have to do is slow the rate of destruction and give the body the building blocks it needs to heal. So this way your healing, your rate of healing becomes faster than the rate of destruction. And when the rate of healing is more than the rate of destruction, then you reverse your cavities. But even cavities that are pretty far gone, when I say pretty far gone, I mean so big you can see them, even those can be helped. Now, once you get to the point where it's more than you can actually see the cavity, then you have to take more drastic action. Yeah, for that, you have to get a pot. And now, those of you who are vegan, I know that some of you are out there, you want to fill this pot with root vegetables. And a root vegetable is something like carrot, potato skins, parsnips. Root vegetables are critical. You could put some green leafy vegetables in there, something stiffer like, say, parsley or something like that. And then throw in maybe some garlic. The idea here is that the root vegetables give you your minerals, the garlic gives you the antibiotic action to kill bacteria, and the greens give you even more minerals. So you want to fill your pot with these vegetables, then cover it with water. And I don't like bothering with watching things, and things can burn, water can boil out, why bother? So use a crock pot and let it cook overnight. In the morning, strain it, add salt to taste, and use this as a base for a soup or just drink it. And what will happen is the minerals in this broth will heal up your teeth. That's important. Now, to augment this, you can take 3 to 6 milligrams per day of boron, and this will rebuild your teeth, your gums, and your bones. By the way, if you're having cavities in your teeth, this means the bones throughout your body are being weakened. So this is your teeth are actually a sign of what's going on in your body. Now, if you're not vegan, just vegetarian, or if you eat meat, then you can do the same maneuver I just mentioned, only use beef or pork bones, fill the pot with bones, cover it with water, cook it overnight. Only what you can do is cool it and strain it, of course, first, then cool the liquid in the refrigerator, scrape the fat off the top, because the fat's not what you're after. What you're after is the gelatin. And the gelatin is that stuff that forms a matrix of your gums. It forms a matrix that attaches your gums to your teeth, and it forms the glue that holds your teeth together. So if you have, let's say you have a tooth that chipped because of a weak tooth, then gelatin, as I just described it, would actually fortify and strengthen that tooth so it won't chip further, and also your other teeth won't chip either. Now, you do have to change your diet. For an exhaustive treatise of this, I'd recommend my book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? I go through the diet very clearly in the book, as well as additional supplementation you might want to consider, and cleansing to get the bacteria out of your body. Now, there's even a chapter on responsibly eating meat so that you can preserve your health. Now, the basics of the diet that you want to follow, you should definitely have got to get rid of all your bottled drinks. That would be milk, juice, soda pop, sports drinks, anything. They all destroy your teeth, so just leave that alone. You want to get rid of sugar, white flour, your sweet desserts, and that will get you started on the right track there. Now, everyone knows, or maybe you don't, but I'm a big fan of distilled water. However, distilled water is not very kind to your teeth. So I now recommend people limit their distilled water to when they're doing cleansing, like maybe during their juice fast, or during a water fast, or during a time of cleansing. Aside from that, you want to use heavily filtered water, like a mercury filter, or you can use Mekong filtered water. You want to heavily filter your water. You don't want to take every last little thing out of it. You do want to heavily filter. Okay, we'll take one question, and then we're going to cover abscesses, because abscesses are very important. Okay, 4182, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I have a filling that fell out about 14 months ago. And
mm-hmm.
I've been doing okay with it, but my cheek swelled up about a week ago. And I was just wondering, the numbness is almost gone. I've been dealing with it, and I wondered if this clay would help with that.
Oh, okay, excellent question. We'll talk about how to get rid of that.
Okay.
Thank you for your question. Mm-hmm. All right, that's our next topic, which is abscesses. Whenever your tooth blows up or your face blows up, you've got an abscess. Doesn't take a doctor or dentist to diagnose that one. So the question is, what should you do? Well, this person, her filling already fell out, so that's actually good news because it decompressed her area, at least so they could drain. You take clove oil and you cut a piece of white cloth. I use the corner of a T-shirt that I'm not interested in keeping. So you cut out 1 inch by 1.5 inch of clean white cotton. You drip clove oil on it, and you roll it up, and you place it between the gum and the root of the affected tooth. How do you know which tooth? You press gently, and when you get to the right one, it'll be, ouch, and that's where you put it, right where it hurts. And this can be repeated every 6 hours as necessary, and it gives relief of the pain, usually in less than the time it takes to drive to the dental office. You also want to take a very stiff antibiotic with this, and that would be 3 garlic capsules 4 times a day, and floss as tolerated. So if you could gently floss in the area, like maybe right next to the tooth, because you want to get out any particle that might be harboring bacteria and pressing bacteria against your teeth. That's important, because nothing is going to help you if you have that bacteria in direct contact with the teeth, with the abscess, and releasing more organisms into the teeth. So that's very important. Now, one thing I mentioned kind of obliquely, which I hope that people will kind of take to heart, if you're too busy to go to the dentist, do not go. That's that's so important, because most or all the therapy is toxic, and it's just like doctors and dentists are taught to use some very dangerous things. So it's very important. If you don't have time to go, then, you know, don't. Definitely do get my book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? And there you'll learn about, like I said, diet and cleansing to help keep your body clean and keep your teeth clean. And this actually is the solution. If you have a root canal in place, I don't recommend getting the root canals pulled. I don't recommend getting the fillings replaced, just because the results I've seen people have has not been great. It's been, like I said, 1 out of 3 will get results. So I do recommend, though, that you maintain a program of cleaning your body out and cleansing and eating food that's healthy, so that you don't have the problem of that results when constant bacteria is released and can infect you. Now, I'm going to tell you guys about next week's topic, so you guys can be sure to tell all your buddies. Next week's topic is genocide by any other name is just as deadly. In other words, could our healthcare system really be a genocide system? And I, at first, thought this was just absolutely preposterous. But someone sent me an email and said, hey, Dr. Daniels, you know, I think it's genocide. And I said, oh, yeah, let me look up the definition of genocide. I was absolutely shocked. And so next week I'm going to share with you what I found in terms of the definition of genocide, and does it really fit what's going on in healthcare, and what can be done about it. There's some incredible laws on the books, incredible laws that really give quite a bit of hope here. So that's our show for today, and our show for next week is Genocide by Any Other Name is Genocide. Okay, thank you for listening.